chapter 6. Last week, we're journeying through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. And last week, we talked about the fact that we're free, and that we're really free. And it's not just a fake freedom, or that's not just a cutting of the reins, but that the old man, that the old sin nature is dead and gone. And today, we're moving into Romans chapter 6. Now, how many of you have ever noticed that you pick up things with those you hang around? You ever travel to a foreign country and all of a sudden you kind of start to hear yourself talking with the accent from the foreign country? Or somebody has a little saying and you kind of pick up their sayings or their ways of doing things and mannerisms or habits or things that they like. They get you to try something that you've never tried before and now you kind of like it and you're eating it too. We kind of pick up the mannerisms and the habits or even the accent of those that we hang out with. And so the relationships that we share really change our mindset. If you think about growing up, your parents shape your thinking. The relationships that you have, the school you go to, shapes your thinking. Where you work shapes your thinking. And so all these things shape our thinking. And so I want to talk to you this morning about a new mindset. About a new mindset of what happens when we come into a real relationship with Christ. And how that affects and impacts us. And so we're going to be picking up we're going to be in Romans 6, we're going to be in verses 12 through 14, not 6:1. Romans 6, 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey it in its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, I pray this morning that you will bring enlightenment to us all, that you will help us to understand why you put this here and how it changes our lives. And so, Father, we acknowledge that you're in control and that we're here to hear from you. And it's not about any one of us. It's about what you intend to do this morning in our hearts. And I ask you to speak to each one of us exactly where we are and exactly with what we need. And so, Father, I pray that you'll be free here today and that we'll hear from you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we take a look at our story, now, does it seem strange to you a little bit here? The fact that he's beginning to deal with sin, because sin was already dealt with at the cross, right? But yet he's dealing with it here, and he's telling us as he begins to just say no, essentially to sin, and allowing that to remain. As a result of our freedom in Christ, we have victory over sin. But to embrace that reality, which is what he's talking about, you know, because so many of us will say we have not embraced the reality of that. Many people say, yeah, I struggle with this sin, or I struggle with this, or I struggle with that. We're not living in the freedom we have. So to embrace that, he begins to unwrap the truth of what it means, of not just who we are, but how to appropriate that into our lives. And so as we embrace that, we must refuse to let sin reign in our mortal body. And that's the key to becoming, for truth to become experience. We go, well, just don't do it, right? But I think we have to understand what he's saying here. And we have to take some of these words that he uses, and I think they're important. He uses the word reign. And to reign means to have an ongoing or constant authority over something. a king, when you think about a king's reign, they're in charge of that kingdom. That's what's in charge. He is. What he says goes. Back in the day, they didn't have courts and systems like that. If the king said, you're gone. Right? We saw that. And we see that in some of the Old Testament passages. And we see it in other writings of from kingdoms that have come and gone. And so he's talking about letting sin reign. That's one aspect of rain. What's another aspect of rain other than the wet stuff that falls down? That's a different spelling. When we think about reins, we also think about a horse. You put reins on a horse so you can control and steer the horse, so you can start it, stop it, so that he who holds the reins is dictating the behavior of what's going on in the life of the horse. And so when he says not to let sin reign, it's saying don't let it have control because it no longer has control. In other words, that which you think is true is not true. You are not always going to sin the same way. That sin that you think you'll never get away from, you're already away from it. But Pastor, you don't understand. I keep doing it. I know you do. That's why you believe that. Because you have not appropriated the freedom you have in Christ. And we've said it before. If Jesus said, if I've set you free indeed. Is Jesus a liar?
Ooh. No.
Thank you. So if Jesus is telling the truth, then we have a problem, right? If I think that I have to always do this or I'm going to give into it all the time, then I'm saying that Jesus is not true. I'm believing a lie is truth. I've got to be careful that I don't do that. But he uses the word reign. And so we've got to be careful. And then he talks about our mortal bodies. You know, and he didn't just say bodies. He said our mortal bodies. Because our mortality is the idea of the end of life, right? I'm a mortal. I remember not long ago, I had kind of a scare. I started getting headaches that would not go away no matter what I did. And they started doing tests, and they said they thought they found something inside my head, and I was relieved. But they thought that they were aneurysms, that I had two aneurysms in there. And I remember going to meet with the doctor who was going to do the little thing where they do the dye. And he said, you don't have aneurysms. He said, I don't believe you have anything. He said, you have infundibulum. I said, oh. Which is just some kind of triangular vein. But I remember during that moment, I thought, there is an end to this for me. I am mortal. I'm not going to live forever. You know, when you're young, you get your whole life planned out. And you got all these things you want to do. You want to become this, and you're going to do this for 30 years, and then you're going to build this, and you're going to go on to retirement. You have all this dough because you've done all. And there's comes a point in your life where you start looking back and you start looking at the end. You know, it's a certain age. I don't know. For me, it was kind of tied to that. And he talks here about our mortal bodies. These bodies have not been redeemed yet. My body's breaking down. I woke up this morning at 6 and I couldn't walk because my back was seizing up. It was a bad time. And we're breaking down. And that's where the sin that we engage with, it appeals to. Whether it's powdered donuts or barbecue or a sexual thing, whether it's something that relates to how we see ourselves. We so often give in to these things and we allow sin to reign and direct in our bodies. And that's what he's addressing. He said, don't let those things continue because they don't have control there anymore. Listen, if you let sin reign, you're going to obey it and you're going to act on it. Because it lusts for sinful things. our bodies lust for sinful things. Why was food made? Why did God give us food? To give us energy? To nourish us? Has anybody ever eaten for a reason other than nourishment and energy? Anybody?
Every day.
Right? You know, we even have a name for it. It's called comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
We've even named it. So now we don't feel bad because it's got a name called comfort food. Instead of, we should be calling it finding safety and security in something other than God. Isn't He the one? Isn't He the healer of our soul? Isn't He the great physician? Doesn't He hold the waters of the earth in the hollow of His hand? Yet I'm finding comfort in food. Is that ridiculous to anybody? That's so we can feel better about what we're doing. And hey, I'm right there with you. I've done it. I've gone out with church groups in other states, and they go, no, this is comfort food. And it was the same food as the other restaurant we went to the week before. But it was still comfort food. Listen, our body lusts for sinful things. I've never had a real need for ice cream. Well, no, my body doesn't have a real creative need for ice cream. So your body may not, but mine does. But it's those things. And so our body longs for these things. And so we allow the thing that we struggle with. That's the difficult thing here, because of the passage before that says you're free. Completely. Whatever you're struggling with, you've allowed it. And so is Mark. I know this is hard. This isn't going to sell a lot of books, or this isn't going to fill the auditorium, but this is truth. Whatever we're struggling with, we've allowed, because you're free from it. You're over it. You have power. Does Jesus have power over all things? Yes or no? Are we in Him and is He in us? So then anything other than that is not true. And we have to start living based upon who we are. So to those things we say no, because we're allowing them. And so, listen, this is a new mindset. I know that I'm dealing with some hollow ground for some of us. You ever been told, or you ever had the thought, well, it's just a little sin. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's just you. It only affect you. Anybody ever heard that thought? Just me? Okay. Nobody will ever know. This doesn't impact anybody. It's going to impact me. And I'm going to miss out on the opportunity to impact somebody because I'm serving that instead of Him. You see how that works? And so that's the lie that the enemy brings in to open up the can over here when God is working right here. And we can continue to develop that. But the point is the things that we're struggling with, it's not because, well, it's just human nature. You ever heard that one? I've heard people use that. They've said that to me. Just human nature. The Bible says that we're of a divine nature now. You don't have a human nature anymore. So that would be of human nature that you're allowing in your life. That's not accurate. It's not biblically accurate. And so in verse 12, he tells us to say no. And then the question he raises in verse 13 is, to whom will you present? Who are you going to present yourself to? See, we are not to present the members of our body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. This is important, to live in the freedom you have in Christ. And so what does it mean to present yourself? It means I'm going to allow you to have your way with my life. You know, they do it in the animal kingdom when it talks about animal reproduction, that one, either the male or female, will present themselves and try to draw, it's usually the female, trying to draw the male. Saying, hey, I'm available, I'm here. And we're not to do that with sin. We're not to do that with the things of the world. See, This applies in both ways, though. We can present ourselves. We're either presenting ourselves to sin or we're presenting ourselves to God. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. It's not, it's never, these are mutually exclusive. I've asked this question many times. Can you walk in the Spirit and sin at the same time? You cannot. I cannot walk being led by the Spirit of God and commit sin because the Spirit of God is not going to lead me into that. So these are mutually exclusive. But it applies to God. It's saying, hey God, I'm available. As you receive me, so walk ye in me. How do we receive him? I'm glad you asked that question. You know how we receive him? We're journeying through this life. We're trying to do the best we can. You ever been there? Just trying to do the best I can. Maybe you've made good decisions in your life and you have a lot of confidence in that. Maybe you've made some bad decisions and so you have a low understanding or you're crumbling under some of that. You feel kind of defeated. One will give you an identity of self-loathing. One will give you an identity of self-gratification. And neither one of those will lead you to freedom, will lead you to Christ. But when you see yourself in light of God, and you see yourself in light of His perfection, what happens is we begin to see ourselves as undone, like we talked about with Isaiah in Isaiah 6, where in the year that King Uzziah died, we talked about this on Easter, that he was carried away in heaven and he saw God high and lifted up. And Isaiah was a great man. God used him to write one of the books in the Bible. But when he saw God, what he saw was not just God, but he saw himself and he said, whoa, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. Isn't that funny? How the thing, and it's interesting now, and it just dawned on me. Here it is he was struggling with that, with what he says, right? And God used him to speak for him. We so often think that God is just going to take our greatest strengths or that I'm really good at this so God can use that. Sometimes it's what we're not good at that God gets the best glory. But what happens is one day God enters and begins to speak to our life and we see how short we actually fall. That we can never do it on our own. And he begins to convict us of sin. And we go, oh no, I can't do it. I've got sin in my life. But the beauty of that, when God does that, he doesn't leave you at that point. He says, look, Mark. Even though you can't do it on your own, and I know you've been trying, and I know you've been trying to do all these good things, there's no life in them, and you already know that. He says to me, the penalty for sin is death. And I went and paid that price for you, bless you. And I died on the cross, I was buried, and 3 days later I rose from the grave. And if you'll put your faith and trust in me, I'll save you today and I'll transform you. And then I have a decision to make. I have to decide if I'm going to trust him or if I'm going to continue to trust myself and work my way to heaven. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tears that down. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't work our way to, we don't do enough good to earn our way into heaven. You can't earn it. Because salvation is a free gift. You can't earn a gift. I've never seen anybody, when they were handed a gift, pull out a $20 bill and try to pay for it. That would be insulting, right? Isn't that insulting when somebody gives you a gift? Yet we want to do that with salvation. God, well, I'm going to pay you back, God. Now that you're saved, you need to pay him back. You need to. It's not about an exchange like that. It's not a dollar exchange. It's about an exchange of your heart for him. That's the exchange. and he saves you and transforms you from the inside out. Listen, if you've never done that before, it's my prayer that you do that this morning. He'll change you from the inside out. You'll be brand new. You won't be wondering, have I done enough? Am I going to make it? And you're going to experience salvation now, not just after you die. And so we have to decide who we're going to present ourselves to. It applies to sin and it applies to God. Listen, we are members. Oh, so what are the members of our body? What are the members of our body? We read that. We read right through some of this stuff. And we're so used to hearing it that we don't even break it down and really think about what he's talking about. What are the members of our body? Stomach. We talked about that already. Eyes. Anybody heal my eyes too? Hands. Sex organs. Ears. Feet. Tongue. That's a whole nother conversation, isn't it? Don't raise your hands. How many of you ever said anything you wish you could take back? How many of you have done that this morning? In the last week? You know, saying something that you wish you could, it's like trying to put toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube. Mm-hmm. It can't go in. The more you try to do it, the more comes out. Have you ever noticed that? When you try to do it, it's just like more, just stop. Please just stop. Stop squeezing. Where do you yield these things? I'm going to yield my stomach to God. I'm supposed to yield my tongue to Him and not say things to defend myself. I yield my heart and my mind, my feet and my hands. These members, these belong to Him. I've been purchased with a price. I mean, how would you feel if somebody came in your garage and just took your tools out and started working? You'd be like, what are you doing? Right? Well, what happens when you're looking for that tool, Luis? Luis makes a living using his tools. That's no bueno. In any language. That's the only other one. And so what are the members? Listen, an instrument, he talks about us to yielding the members of our body as an instrument. And an instrument is something placed in the hand of another for them to wield, to accomplish their purposes. From a musical instrument, when you think about instruments, this is what we think about. We put them together to make music. And they're in the hands of another. From tools to accomplish a purpose and a task, we are the tools and the instruments of the hand of God. And so we're alive from the dead today. See, at salvation, we move from death to life. And now we have a choice of who to surrender to. See, this gives us a new way of thinking, because before we were saved, we didn't have that option. Before you're saved, the only thing you know is that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what you try to do is separate good and evil and say, well, I'm good, do good things, I'm good. And there's no life in that tree. Just like God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat of it, you'll die. We're dying every day. We're trying. You know, if there was life, wouldn't it sprout? Doesn't life beget more life? But when I eat of the tree of life, He draws me in, He fills me. When I abide in Him and He abides in me, as in John 15, the sap doesn't flow. Sap is not fruit. Have you ever noticed that? We all talk about letting God flow in and out of us. Sap is not fruit. Sap is sticky. It gets on your car. It's a pain. But sap flows into the branch. And the branch comes to life. And fruit shows up. That's what God does in you when you abide in Him. And then we all get to enjoy your fruit, and you get to enjoy our fruit. That's how it works. And so don't, listen, don't dismiss the idea that you're alive in Christ to please your flesh. Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss the idea that you're alive in Christ just to go please your flesh. And that's a decision we have to make. And sometimes it's so ingrained in our mind. And that part of that we just do it without thinking. And that's because we're not being renewed in the Word. That's in Romans 12. And so we say no to this thing. See, what I'm trying to do is let you guys experience the freedom you actually have in Christ. Because that's our big argument, right? If I'm free, how come I still struggle with this? And this is why. This is why. Because we allow it. Because we present ourselves to it instead of to God. But verse 14 wraps this up. He says, basically, to let God have his place. See, many of us just want God to do this for us, but he wants us to choose him daily. He wants us to choose him daily. Let me read verse 14 to you. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, or under law, but under grace. Sin is not your master. That is a lie. Well, it's just human nature. No, yeah, it is, but not yours. That's not the nature you're of. Well, you don't understand. I struggled with this. I know you have, but you're free from that. But you don't know. I know there's pleasure in sin for a season. Keep giving me excuses. I'll keep telling you where God destroyed that excuse. We got a million of them, don't we? And we can't fathom the idea that we're actually free from sin. Well, why do you sin? Well, it's just going to be always going to be, we're always going to struggle. You ever heard that? I've heard that in church. I've gotten in trouble. I made somebody mad once. I told them, I said, you don't have to struggle. The struggle's over. Jesus struggled for us. But you don't understand. No, I do understand. I'm willing to listen, though. I care. But I'll tell you the truth. Sin shall not be master over you. So when we yield to sin, we give it the place of master in our lives. And that place belongs to God alone. And I think that's the real issue. We want to take where we're supposed to be submitted to God and submit that over here. If you watch what's going on in the verses, that's what he's talking about. He's saying, these things are mine. And you are submitting them. You are. You know how. But you're submitting them to the things of the world, to sin and not to me. That's why you're not living in the freedom you have, because of the choices that you're making. He's our master. Listen, when we were under the law, sin was our master. It directed our thoughts and behaviors. We didn't know any different. And so when he set us free from that, that mindset was not erased. And so that which was going on, we have a tendency to fall into. Now, he'll usually free you from a couple things. But then we still have to overcome this idea of the thing that sin had taught us. And that's where we're renewed in our mind by the washing of the Word. So now that we're under grace, God is our master, and we need to recognize him as such. Sin gave you no room to decide, but God, because of his love, wants you to love him back and let him lead your path, your life, down the path he's already laid out for you. Man, isn't that cool? Isn't that cool that we can choose to go in the way that God laid out for us? That we have that option? Some of you feel resistant to that, don't you? Just the idea that we have the option to choose to go down the path God gave us. It's like, you don't understand, that's really hard for me. Now, I understand that it's hard. And I understand why. That's why we're talking about. But I'm not going to not address it, and I'm not going to not deal with it, because I know what's on that journey for you. Because there's times that I've chosen that. Because there's times that Mark doesn't always choose that, and Mark is wrong when he doesn't. But when Mark does choose it, I see God open doors for me that I could have never opened with people. Them ask questions. When I'm getting out of the way and it's not about me. Because listen, God is going to tear down everything in our life that gives us confidence in ourselves. Well, doesn't the Bible say that there's nothing that God hasn't made a way of escape, that He's not going to pour anything out on me like that? That's not the verse. The verse says, no temptation has taken you except that which God has made a way of escape. That has to do with temptation. That has nothing to do with our journey. Anytime we put our confidence in something else other than Him, He is going to remove that out of the way so that we can discover that He is the answer. Because if I have my confidence in something else, I don't need Him. And the question for us is, are we going to let Him lead? So I think there's some things that we take away from this that we have to realize if we're going to walk in freedom. Part of the reason, here's one, let me give you three things. Part of the reason we struggle with sin is because we yield ourselves to it. See, we need to quit blaming God for this. Well, God, if you'll just, God, help me overcome it. He already has. God, I'm really struggling with this. And you know, if you just give me, you know, you'll give me strength. He's already done that. I know it's not popular, but it's biblical. I want you guys to walk in truth. He has to be worshipped in what two things? Spirit and truth. So part of the reason we struggle with sin is because we yield ourselves to it. We need to quit blaming God for the struggle because He's already freed us. That thing in your mind that says, I'm always going to struggle with this, I'm always going to be under this, I'm always going to be controlled by this, is a lie. It's a lie. Because you're free. Jesus set us free. We have to realize that it's a lie to believe there's any sin that we're trapped by. We just talked about that. This, listen, it doesn't feel true when you say that. It really doesn't. And I get that. But the problem is we've embraced the lie for so long that when we hear the truth, our experience tells us that the actual truth is false. When you do something for so long, we're like Pavlov's dog. Does that dog's mouth really need to water when the bell is rung? No, because there may or may not be food there. It has nothing to do with the bell. But he's trained his mind to think that way, that his body begins to react. That's why you yield the members of your body. Sin will train you to react physically in a way, and he's like, and that's why it's such a struggle for us. But we yield our members to God. Three. The same power that sin seems to have in our lives, God will exhibit when we yield to Him. He'll yield that same control over those areas when you yield to Him. So choose Him. When we're drawn to the things of God, we will be drawn to the things of God with a greater magnetism, because that will connect with who we really are. Not just a momentary pleasure. And so discover life. Realize it is a fact that God set you free when He saved you. Realize that. And live in it. You know, I read the story of this little boy who used to sneak out. He lived on it was a two-story house, and he used to sneak out at night. His parents found out about it. He used to climb down this old fruit tree that was outside. And his parents figured out what he was doing. So they were sitting around one day, and his dad says, they're having their family meal. This is back when they'd had family meals. Not when everybody did their buffet thing and went and watched TV. And he says to the family, he says, you know, that old fruit tree hasn't produced fruit in a while. I think I'm going to cut it down. Well, that boy struck some fear in his heart because that was his escape route. And so him and his buddy called his buddy, and they went out and they bought a bushel of apples. And that night they went and they tied apples to this tree all over the tree. And in the morning his father went outside and went, it is a miracle. That tree is covered in apples. And his son just sat there quietly enjoying the moment for a moment. And he said, you know the real miracle? Is that was a pear tree. And you know, I think we do the same thing with our sin. Is we run around to protect the avenues that allow us to engage in it. Just like this boy did. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to make it look like it's alive. And there's no real life and no real satisfaction there. And I think we've done the same thing. And so we have to be careful that we have this mindset not to serve sin in ourselves, but a translation or a transformation, if you will, to serve God and not allow those things to hold us back. It's just, it's easy to go the path of least resistance. But I want you to live, I want you to go in the path where you actually, honestly, biblically are in Christ. We've built things up, and we'll talk about coping patterns at some point. We build things up to protect ourselves, to keep ourselves safe, and the bottom line is we don't trust God to do it. And we want to walk around saying that we're confident and that God is our Savior. We're going to trust Him for eternal life, but we're not going to trust Him to keep us safe in this. You know what? Here's the thing. If He doesn't keep me safe and somebody kills me because I do the right thing, hallelujah. Bye-bye. If that happens, Stephen will be preaching that Sunday. And I'll be praying from heaven for him. And I'll be having a good time. And he'll be wishing he was with me. Listen, you're free. You're really, really free. It's not just something you say in church. It's real. It's truth. And to embrace the journey that God has for us, not just individually, but as a body, we have to walk in that. I want everybody to bow their head and close their eyes.